Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you. Okay. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we've assembled here this morning for the purpose of meeting with you. Some are assembled in their home and watching via Zoom. Others are out of the city. But this assembly here, this physical assembly and those via Zoom have come for the purpose of meeting with you, of hearing your Holy Spirit speak to us, instructing us. We've assembled to worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we desire that the work of the Spirit would result in our becoming more like Christ than we've ever been before. We pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 9. Yeah, verses 1 through 9. Just want to check. Sometimes the brain gets a little leaky as you get a little bit older or a little less sleep. And sometimes it's both or other things as well. At any rate, let's give ear to God's inerrant word. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father, even by our father Isaac. We'll close there. Sorry. It's not a bad thing to read more scripture. It's just losing my mind. Let's turn then to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10. This is found on page 876. In our Psalter hymnal. And again, these are the confessional. This Psalter hymnal was done by the OPC, started out by us, and then we were joined in by the United Reformed Church. And those were the faithful men, faithful congregations of the Christian Reformed Church who pulled out as that church started to depart from the faith. And it has the Westminster Standards, the catechisms, and the confession. And it has what's called the three forms of unity, which are the confessional standards of the Continental Reformed. Mark and I and Stephen, we've sworn to the Westminster Standards. We've not sworn to the three forms of unity. But the three forms of unity teach the same system of theology that we have sworn to. And sometimes they say things a little differently, and sometimes they say them maybe a little bit better than our standards. But we'll be using these two catechism questions as our confessional document this morning. And as usual with a catechism, I get to read the question, you get to read together the answer. What do you understand by the providence of God? How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us?
We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future we can have a good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature will separate us from His love. For all creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will,
I want to direct your attention again just to the end of that first question. All things come to us, skip for a moment, by His fatherly hand. This is something I have to remind myself when I have the pseudo-obstruction. I mean, after all, when I'm swollen and in pain and begging for the Dilaudid and there are very unpleasant things, which we won't mention, happening to me, I have to remind myself, this comes from my Father's hand. Why, I may not know, and I still haven't figured that one out, but it comes from my Father's hand. It's not chance. I mean, there's the well-worn joke about, you know, good luck, as Calvin would say. There's not a chance. You might play a game with dice and throw the die, and every time you do that, even in a game like Parcheesi, where it doesn't matter at all, the roll of the die has been preordained by God. The least details are all in our Father's hands. That's something for us to comfort ourselves with. All right, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 77. It's God's inerrant word. To the chief musician, to Yeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of Yahweh. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters. Your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May God bless the reading of His word. Let's go together before Him in prayer. Father, we thank You again for the opportunity to assemble here, or for our brothers and sisters in Kearney to assemble in their homes or one home, whatever, and to observe via Zoom. Dear God, we pray that this pandemic, this plague, would bear the fruit that you have designed for it, whatever that might be. You haven't given us revelation about what it is. We can look in the scriptures and see what plagues produced in the past, but we can't be certain what your plan is for this particular one. Nevertheless, we do pray that there would be fruit. Above all, that there would be fruit of revival in the Church of Jesus Christ, a living faith, a vibrant faith, a contagious faith. And we pray also that the lost around us would be awakened to their need, and that the elect, at least, would be gathered in. We know from your word that the elect will be gathered in, and none but the elect. Nevertheless, Lord, it would be a good thing for the lost to know that they're lost and that they desperately need a Savior. We also, Lord, want to remember our sister churches here in Lincoln. First on our mind, of course, are the five Reformed churches with whom denominationally we have connection and with whom locally we've done some things together. We pray your blessings upon them as we pray your blessings upon ourselves. And we pray also, Father, for the wider Church of Christ. If the Reformed faith is, as we believe it is, the most accurate summary of biblical faith, then our prayer for the other churches of Christ is that they may come to know the Word of God better, more accurately, and live more faithfully. But Lord, that does not mean that Faith OPC or Zion or St. John's or Redeemer or Grace, we've arrived and we're doing things perfectly. Well, by no means. First of all, there are differences between us. And secondly, there's no perfect church on earth. No visible church is perfect. All visible churches have unbelievers in their midst. All visible churches have error in their concepts because all of us are still sinners. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to study the Word, to seek to understand what we might be doing that's not quite correct, that we might correct ourselves. And not just in organization or anything like that, Lord, but in the serious teachings of doctrine and in walking with you. We pray for those who rule over us, as at least two of the apostles ordered us to do. Sometimes that prayer is a prayer that you would bring them to faith in Christ, that you would support those who seek to do that which is right and good, at least in an external sense. And sometimes it is a righteous prayer that you would shatter the teeth of the wicked. We don't always know which to pray. But we have good rulers and we have wicked rulers in our nation, which is why the greatest blessing you can give to us is that you would revive your church again, reform your church according to the Word of God, give us a living and active faith, one where we truly are sacrificing ourselves on the altar. It's our reasonable, our logical, and our spiritual service. And that we would, that the gospel would be seen and observed by the pagans around us, just as it was 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire. And that many would come to faith in Christ. We pray these things of you in Christ's name. Amen. This is an interesting psalm. It is mostly in the first person singular. In fact, I'm not certain that I remember seeing a first person plural. I've read it several times over, but I just don't recall one being in that form. which would then lead you to conclude that the prayer is about personal affliction. And that could well be the case. But in this book of the Psalter, while there are personal troubles, there are also corporate troubles in the church. And if the church, since at this particular point in time, the church and state are one, troubles on the state are troubles for the church. And troubles for the church or for the state are also troubles for the individual as well. It starts off with a positive note, even though there's a lot of negative. In fact, the psalm divides into two sections, and each of those sections are divided yet again into two portions. So let's look at the first verse. It's so precious. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice. Be crying out would, if it were put in italics in your Bible, that would be making good sense, because that's the implication. He's repeating himself. He cries out to God with his voice, and so it's not just a silent prayer. And then listen. Listen because he listens. He gave ear to me. God hears all the prayers of his people. God knows everything, so all the prayers of the most horrible pagans you'd ever want to meet or never meet are still known to God, but hearing in the sense of giving attention to is something reserved by God for his people. And so here's the prayer. Hear me, O God. Hear me. Why is he praying? Because, verse 2, in the day of his trouble, he sought the Lord, not Yahweh. Notice it's small O-R-D. And Lord is a great translation. You could render it master. Baal has overlapped in meaning with Adonai. Perhaps Baal might mean a little more of master than Adonai, but it's still someone who owns you, someone who has a sovereign authority over you, okay? And here in the day of trouble, he cries out to the one who's sovereign, who has brought these troubles. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. This is a typical prayer. If you're asking, does anyone remember the, is the movie called Oliver? Where the little boy is in, I only remember the trailer. And he comes to the bowl and says, please, sir, I want more. Holding up the bowl. Well, that's the kind of gesture that we have here for prayer. Holding out the hands, not waving them around so people can see how spiritual you are, but holding out the hands that you might receive something from God. He stretches out his hand in the night without ceasing. His soul refused to be comforted. Now, that's an interesting statement, ending verse 2. How is it his soul refuses to be comforted when in the very previous verse, God gave ear to him? Well, God may have heard him, but what's not happened yet? No relief. No response. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And notice this section, the next section, and the one after that end with Selah. Whatever it means, your Bible might have various suggestions in the margins. Whatever it means, it seems to end each of these little sections and yet not end the psalm itself. How is it that he's troubled when he remembers God? See, this is setting up the next section. How is it that I complained and my spirit's overwhelmed? It's because, again, of the next section. You hold my eyelids open. Have you ever been like that when you can't get to sleep? I had one of those nights last night. I know that if I take oxycodone, it will make me drowsy and sleepy. and yet I won't sleep. And I broke my little toe last summer, and all day yesterday it just throbbed. And it was throbbing till 2 in the morning last night when finally I took a Percocet, and thank the Lord I did get to sleep. But this is not because of physical pain. No, this is an anguish of the spirit that's disturbing the psalmist. And he can't get his eyes to close. He can't go to sleep. I'm so troubled, I can't even speak. Now, we're told in verse 1, he's cried out to God. But now the troubles, whatever they may be, have rendered him unable to articulate what he needs to come before God with. Isn't it wonderful that New Testament promise that we have the Holy Spirit to help us to pray with groans too deep for words to express, the Spirit expressing to the Father for us what we need to pray? I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Well, this is good, and we'll see part of what's good, but there's also here the trouble that's keeping him awake. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. Diligent search of what? Of the recordings of Scripture. The years of ancient times, the days of old. These are not the personal past of the psalmist, but the past of the people of God. And the past of the people of God will have comfort, as we'll see in a few moments, but at this point in time in the psalm, it doesn't bring comfort. It brings disturbance. It keeps the eyelids open. My spirit makes diligent search through all the scriptures I've memorized, all the stories I've known. And here's why he's disturbed. Because in the past, God has answered the prayers of his people. In the past, God has been good and gracious. God remembered his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he brings Israel out of Egypt. He hears their cries and their anguish, and he remembers his promises. But whatever is happening at this point in time, as he remembers those scriptures of old, he has these statements in verse 7, 8, and 9. Will the Lord cast off forever? Again, stressing his sovereignty. We don't know for sure what's going on. By the way, one hint is that this is not limited to Judah alone. The hint is found at the end of verse 15. Joseph. Joseph, after all, his sons Ephraim and Manasseh are part of the northern kingdom. That does not necessarily mean the northern kingdom is still surviving, though it could be. It could also mean that the northern kingdom is being overwhelmed by the Assyrians and not by the Babylonians afflicting Judah. We don't know. But what we do know is the psalmist is looking at what's happening to the church state or the state church, and it would seem that God has abandoned them. Unlike in the past. Has he cast us off forever? Will he be favorable no more? The anguish that's going, in some ways this kind of echoes Lamentations. Look at what God has done to his people. Is he finished with us for forever? In fact, there's a point in time, much of this psalm does recall the Exodus, but after the Exodus, while Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments, what's happening down below? I love Aaron's excuse. Well, we threw the gold in the pot and out hopped this calf. Yeah, right. We're told explicitly he carves it. What a lame excuse. You really think your younger brother's going to... When you were little, your little brother might have been fooled by such a story, but not at this point in time. The man's at least 80 years old. And God wants to kill them all and start with Moses all over again. And Moses prays for his people. Will ye be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? The last time I had it was a real obstruction. It takes weeks after the surgery for my gut to wake up and I'm able to eat something. And I desperately asked God to take me home. And I did not mean by that Yardley, Pennsylvania, or 5635 Salt Valley View. I just felt like I was abandoned. Just kill me and get it over with, please. Has your mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed? Now, these questions, if you know the God of old and what he's revealed about himself, you know that these questions are going to demand a negative answer. But for the psalmist at this point in time, it looks like this is the case. The anguish in the first line of verse 9, has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he forgotten one of his characteristics? Well, it's like that's almost a silly thing to ask. And yet, there are times when you and I can be in that kind of a boat, be in that kind of a situation where God's forsaken me. Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Verse 10 is where the psalm shifts. It doesn't seem like it at first. This is my anguish. New King James has infirmity. Sickness is another translation. Infirmity or sickness would be a specific kind of affliction. And if it is national, it's not necessarily a literal sickness. Have you ever been sick to your stomach because of a nervous reaction with something going on? Not an illness, but now that you just can't bear the circumstances in your life. I did something really stupid when I was in college. I signed up for a cosmopolitan spa. I remembered their name all of a sudden. And I wasn't working. Janet thought I was rich because everybody else went in to pay on their school bill, and I went in to get money back out. It was called college loan. I got to wash my clothes. I'd get $2 or whatever to wash my clothes, or I need to buy some deodorant, and I'd get that money. Boy, was she fooled. But I was really distressed because I had signed this contract, and I thought I was trapped. She shared two scriptures that are very precious to me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is my anguish, but I will remember is in italics, it's implied in the word remember that we have elsewhere, the first line of verse 11. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, when we sang the psalm, they added El to Elyon. Elyon means Most High. And when we sing El Shaddai, we have the line Elyon in it. But here it's just Elyon. It's not God Most High, but just the Most High. These are names, by the way, except for Yahweh, all the names here are names that the pagans around them would have used. We have El and Elohim, Elyon, Adonai. In the Bible, Hebrew is called the language of Canaan, interestingly enough, because the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Phoenicians spoke dialects of the same language. Oh, and the Edomites, did I mention them? I can't remember. They all spoke different dialects or accents of the same language. Here's the anguish, what we've just looked at in the preceding verses. But I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Remember when God in his power and his might worked wonders for Israel. because God doesn't change. While what I'm going through or what we're going through, think of our brothers and sisters in China. Not that long ago, there was great freedom. Not that long ago, there were reformed literature that had the Chinese ISBN number. They were legal to sell. Well, that printing press is gone. That church is gone. The seminary's gone. The libraries are gone. I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the works of Yahweh. And now here we have the name of the covenant God. By the way, it's in Hebrew, it's just Yah, as in Hallelujah. It's a short form. My Ben's two younger boys, the twins, are Isaac and Jacob. They're called Ike and Jack, except by their grandfather, who calls them Yitzhak and Yahav. I pronounced them correctly. Well, this is a short form. But the works of the God of the covenant. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Why? Because remembering what God has done in the past is what gives us faith. How do we get faith? By hearing of the word of God. Paul tells us that in Romans. And even if he doesn't have his Bible open, the fact that he's memorized Scripture and he's remembered the stories that are contained in Scripture, that's a faith-producing element in your life. I will also meditate on all your work, of all the things that you've done. I'm going to contemplate on it. Ponder. What were the circumstances? How did you do this? Consider, for example, when God comes and rescues Israel from Egypt, they are obviously a people walking with God, right? Wrong. Now, they've got false gods. When Moses comes, they say, "Will you leave us alone? You've made things worse than we had it before. You go in the desert and worship Yahweh." Remember, Moses has to ask, "Who am I supposed to tell him sent me?" They don't even know his name. I'll meditate on all your work, and I'll talk of your deeds. I'll share the faith that comes from the Word of God with my brothers and my sisters. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary, in the holy place. Who is so great a God as our God? That's something that Moses said. What other God has given such laws to their people? None. In fact, what other God is a living God? None. Other gods have eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear and mouths that can't speak. Sometimes they've got legs and they've got to be picked up and carried because they don't move themselves. But our God picks us up and carries us. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, he'll carry you like a father carries his son. Who's as great a God as ours? Answer, none. You are the God who does wonders. You've declared your strength among the peoples, not just among us, but among the nations. When the spies come to Rahab, what does she say? Well, we're terrified. We heard what God did to Egypt. You know what's significant about that? Egypt had sovereignty over Canaan at that point in history. All those little tiny Canaanite kingdoms were vassals of Egypt. We heard what Yahweh did to Egypt, and we're terrified. Yeah, they were, and they had every reason to be. You have, with your arm, your strength, redeemed your people. Whatever the circumstances are, personal or corporate, Assyrians, Babylonians, a plague, sewer obstruction, kidney stones, Terry had gallstone yesterday. Adina, when she had a gallstone, said that she collapsed on the stairs. She was going up the stairs and she just collapsed and she couldn't move. I've never had a gallstone. I don't have a gallbladder now, so I don't have to worry about it. Thank you, Lord. I also don't have to worry ever again about appendicitis. That's gone too. So I don't know how much that hurts. I'm not going to compare it because I've been told by Krista and others that kidney stones hurt worse than having a baby. I've done the one. I can't do the other. And anybody who compares their pain to somebody else's is silly because you don't know what they felt. You only know what you felt. Whatever it is, I'm remembering how you redeemed your people. You redeemed the sons of Jacob and Joseph. All 12 tribes were redeemed. Selah. And now the description of probably the Red Sea, it could maybe also refer to the Jordan River. The waters saw you. I love this. The waters saw you, oh God. The waters saw you, and they were afraid. The ocean trembles before its creator. The depths also trembled. The Dead Sea is very, very deep. Do you know that? Except in one location. And some think that that's where the waters were passed. There's one place, there's like almost an undersea bridge where the water is relatively shallow. Relatively shallow. It's still part of the Rift Valley that goes down to Victoria Falls. But the depths trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind, or perhaps even the tornado. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. That's a thunderstorm. We got just a little drizzle outside, not even enough to make the dust dry. Nevertheless, in God's providence, that thunderstorm is God. Not in the sense that nature is God, but in the sense that this is God's manifesting himself in this storm. The clouds opened up. Out comes the rain. Out comes the thunder. Out comes the lightning flashes. The whirlwind, lightning lights up the world. The thunder makes the earth tremble. Your way was in the sea. Your road, you see, was in the sea. Your path was in the great waters. Your footsteps were not known. Why? Because they're below the waters. You can't see them. And then listen how it closes on such a tender note. You have here the majesty and power of God being expressed in 16, 17, 18, 19. And then you led your people like a flock. Sheep, since they've been domesticated, are not hardy creatures, particularly ewes that are with lambs. They have to be gently led. They have to be led, not driven. Do you remember there was a commercial for the Super Bowl some years ago of a bunch of cowboys on their horses and their lariats herding cats? Do you remember that? Crazy. You can herd horses, but I can't imagine how you could herd hundreds of cats. You can't herd sheep. You have to lead them. And you led them by your shepherds, Moses and Aaron. What's the point? I look back at what God has done, and my faith is strengthened in spite of the affliction, in spite of the darkness that makes me wonder, verses 7, 8, and 9, if he's turned his back on me or on us. Navigators used to produce this. I don't think they do it anymore. If I remember correctly, I got permission to copy it, but I don't remember for sure. And in it is stuff for Bible study and prayer requests and when and how God has answered it. Praying for shoes for our kids, praying for illnesses, praying for leading, whether I should go to Reformed Theological Seminary or not. 1 week we had not enough food for Janet and the boys, the girls weren't with us yet, to last until I was going to get paid on Friday. I used to fast 1 day a week. I was going to fast for 3 days. And we prayed about it, and just like what comes in bad Christian fiction, Somebody sent us a check for $25, and that was enough to eat on for the next several days. That person never gave us money before, never gave us money since. It never happened to us before or since like that. But it's recorded in this little notebook because there are times I need to remind myself of how God individually has cared for me and mine. As well as the psalmist saying, go back to the Bible and be reminded of the great deeds of our God. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for how your word in your people produces faith, rekindles faith, strengthens faith. And we need it rekindled and we need it strengthened because we have such little faith. And we are so easily shaken by the things that happen to us or happen around us. Help us to hear this psalm and to hear the psalm singer and psalm writer. And how in his day of trouble and his day of doubt, even while he remembered the doubt that came about because he remembered what you did of old, and yet remembering what you did of old also rekindled his faith. Grant that to us, we pray, that we may remember that we can trust in you, come what may. We pray this of you in your Son's name. Amen.